Well, would you open your Bibles? I want to get right into the Word. Yesterday, you probably watched some TV and the news on that sad occasion of 9/11. It's always just extremely sad and heart-wrenching and breaking, and sometimes you can only watch so much of it. You know, it just hurts your heart, and so I just want to talk a little bit. I'm not going to go back into that because you probably watch so much. You don't want to come to church and hear again. Sorry, you guys. Let me make sure I'm on. You got me, Alicia? Thank you. Alicia, thank you. You do a great job, honey. Well, let me say this, though. I'm going to title my message today, Do Not Lose Heart. Just don't give up. There's so many people today that I hear discouragement coming out of their mouth. You can see discouragement in faces. And so I just want to bring this message today to encourage you not to lose heart. Many of you hold on like a bulldog. You've got that bulldog kind of faith. It doesn't matter what comes or goes. You don't seem to get rattled. Oh, we probably all get rattled a little bit. But like I say, there's a, you know, we soar when you soar with the eagles of God. You may have a few lows, but you never come down and crash. You know, I've always said the person that's flying on cloud nine makes me a little nervous. Because most of the time, that person that's on cloud nine this week, next week will be down in the mully grubs. They'll just crash and burn. And then you've got to do everything you can to try to get them up, lift them up, lift them up again. So I just want to say, do not let your heart be troubled. In the Psalms over and over, it says, do not fret, but do not lose heart. Now, folks, you know this is true. Before 9/11, probably days, months, not just weeks and months, but probably years, they say that the Taliban and the terrorists that flew into the towers on 9/11, that they're very patient people, and they just plan to outwait the United States. They prey on people and on nations, and they just wait until their number is called. You've heard of the sleeping cells that they say were around. Well, they slept for about 20 years, and especially for the past 4 years, they really didn't dare do anything. But there was a time, now, I just, it's the truth, whether you are for this person or that person, when President Obama was in office, they were decapitating Christians' heads. Okay, that's just the truth. That's what happened. But they did not play, not one ounce, when President Trump was in office. They did not play with him. They just knew he was crazy enough to take them out. And he would, and he did. And so, but we got another president that came in, and he's a softie, and he wants to be friends with everybody, and he wants everybody to be happy, and everybody to get along. And so we found out what happened the other day was maddening. But what I was going to say, though, is these people had planned and planned for months, years, I don't know how long they'd planned, but they had planned to take down those towers. So on 9/11, it was absolutely devastating in 2001 what they did. It's changed our lives forever. Even if you were to go down to ER as a minister, you know, I used to go into ER a lot. I don't so much anymore. But even to go into Porterville ER, you stop and they check your backpack, they check your purse, they check everything. And that's all from 9/11. When you fly, they're going to check you out. You know all that about flying. And to think that you and I used to just walk onto the airplane. To think that we would just walk into the airport. And sometimes you could just walk with your loved one all the way up to the gate and say goodbye to them. Not going to happen anymore. All because of 9/11. Now here's what happened. It literally devastated America. We had never had anything like that happen before. We just sat there and defended ourselves. But we never had to go after anybody. Well, these guys came together in one mind and one accord. I mean, remember in the Old Testament when it talked about the Tower of Babel? God said, I better come down there and confuse them, lest they can do anything that they want to do. Nothing is impossible to them. Well, these guys had their minds together. They thought alike. They trained alike. And they were able to accomplish what they wanted to do. Now, the very next day, 20 years ago today, 9/12/2001, what happened to America? 9/11, we were devastated. Over almost 3,000 people died. The next day, isn't it amazing? On 9/12, America came together as one. There was no Democrats. There was no Republican. There was no blacks. There was no white. There was no Islam. There was no Baptist, Pentecostals, or Methodist. There was no vaxxed or unvaxxed. It didn't matter. You know, there was no conservative or liberal. We all came together in one mind and one accord. You know why? Because our hearts were busted up and broken. We had one heart and one mind. And you'll remember seeing it at St. Peter's Cathedral, I think, there in New York. Billy Graham spoke. Muslim guy got up to speak. Different ones got up and preached the gospel in it, but it's amazing. And the schools, I mean, I saw last night, this was most amazing. It was a football game between Notre Dame and Michigan. And at their halftime show, you know what they did? They played, you're not going to believe it, Amazing Grace. They played Amazing Grace. All of them gathered out there. Only a 9/11 could cause that. We acted like we were human. We acted like we loved each other. We acted like we could come together in one mind and one accord. So I know we can do it, America. We can all do that. We don't have to act all divided. So that was 20 years ago when we acted that way. But it didn't take long for us to turn over and go back to sleep. I set my alarm for 4:30 this morning. And I snoozed it once. But I knew I better not snooze it again or I might snooze all the way through the service. Now I usually get up early. I couldn't sleep that long. But anyway, somehow America just hit the snooze button, went back to sleep, and forgot about that awakening. But I'll tell you something about this COVID. It has driven people to conviction. And it takes something really big to turn a nation. So I loved it that we were no longer divided after 9/11. We were the United States of America for the first time, I think. Maybe way back after the Upper Room experience. But we were Americans United, and we were the United States, everybody, young and old, because our hearts were broken. But now it seems like everybody's hearts are just sometimes just bitter and angry and full of hate and despising each other and not liking that group and this group. And yet, when our hearts were full of compassion for those that we saw jumping out of those buildings to their death that day, it was devastating. It would take your breath away to try to figure out which would be worse, the fire or this. Our hearts were broken and full of compassion. And when people are compassionate, everything changes in our lives. So church, I see some things happening today that I think is going to take us there. Well, I know it's going to take us there again. But I'm just asking you to right now, while America is so divided and the media is so divided and the media is so evil, and it's just amazing what's going on there. But I'm just asking you today, guard your heart. Guard it. Guard your mind. Guard your heart. And please don't forget to feed your spirit. Feed it on the Word of God every morning. Put a piece of the Word in your heart. And not only your heart, but in your mind. And the only way you can put it there is to read it. So just read a piece of it. I mean, if you're starting to read through, then read a chapter, a half a chapter. If you're reading the Psalms, well, just if all you've got time for is 3 or 4 verses, at least do that. I know you've got time to do that before you go to work. Or get up a little earlier. I'm going to tell you, it'll do you good. But I want to go a bit farther and say, just as those Islamic terrorists, those evil intruders came into America and took down those towers and mocked us, to think that they were able to mock America with our own planes. Did we ever imagine that in your lifetime, Niles? That they would be able to do that with our own planes? With the great military we have and our great leaders? We never once thought they could mock us like that. But now America is being mocked by our own government. And something else is heart-wrenching right now. To hear the press secretary of the White House call these Islamic terrorists, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, TK, whatever they are. To hear them say, oh, they're acting professional and businesslike. Do they not know that they are setting themselves up for a big mocking? To think that this president and the generals at the Pentagon, to think that they have partnered with the enemy. That they turned over one of the greatest airports in the entire world that had surveillance like no other airport in the entire world. And they partnered with them. They armed the enemy with American weapons. And I think one of the most hurtful things, and I heard this yesterday, I heard one of the veterans say this that was on one of the news networks. I think it was Newsmax. He said the most hurtful thing to him out of all the ignorant things that have happened was to see the enemy walking around in American servicemen's uniforms. And he said, that's so hurtful to me. Have you guys not seen that? It's hurtful. Oh no, they're in their helmets, their outfits, their boots, their camouflage uniforms. They're wearing those. And to think about the American women and children and people that are left there with murderous heathens. They don't think for a minute to drop somebody dead in the street or at their home. I won't even say what some of them have done in front of the children that's here today. But you've heard the stories. And to think that American government would walk away and leave some behind. You say, yeah, but Pastor, they got out 100,000. Oh, that's what they tell us. But a big group of them, a majority, was Afghanistanis. Which I have compassion for them too. And I pray for them. And I pray for the people that are left. And I pray that God will turn. Did you know he can even turn the heart of the Afghani soldier? I pray that when he puts on the uniform of one of those godly young men, the Holy Ghost will come on him and start a revival just out of the glory and the anointing that's on that uniform. Ah, God, may you turn that helmet into a helmet of salvation. and just turn, hallelujah, the whole thing around. Many of our own in America, our own, just like those people took our own planes and devastated America. People of our own nation, our own Americans are trying to destroy this very culture. Our schools, our education, erase our history. We don't love our history. Our history, no nation always loves all of their history. But you don't throw it away, you teach it. So you can see how far we've come. The things, the laws that they are changing. And also a news report said that the teachers, many of the teachers in the public school system would not even talk about 9/11 this week. You know why? Because they didn't want to say who did it. Didn't want to say that it was another nation because they wanted to be politically correct. They might offend somebody. Is this a sad day, church? But it's a great day. It's a great day, and I'm glad that we live here. They don't want to tell the children what happened. Well, you know what? If that little one, you know, was 1 year old, he's 20 now. If he, you know, there's a lot of kids in school that don't have a clue. I mean, it just really doesn't touch them because they don't know what happened. It's like some of you that were in World War II, maybe, or in Vietnam or Gulf War. We don't really know. You tell us about it, but we don't really know. I saw your picture up on the pole, Brother Lloyd Taylor, your military picture, and I'm so proud when I drive by and see it. I look at it every time. Many of the great men in Porterville, I know, I see their pictures, and it always makes you proud. And to think that there's teachers teaching our children in our own America that mock our families by not wanting to teach our children things except for what this socialist agenda wants them to teach. I'm telling you, church, Satan has blinded their minds. He has blinded their minds. All right, let me show you 2 Corinthians 4:4. 2 Corinthians 4:4. And I'm reading from the NIV today in case it reads a little different, but I wanted you to see this in NIV. So look above. The God, you see that little G? That's the God of this world. That's not the God. It's not our God. Here's how all this mess has happened, you guys. Solomon said, here's a conclusion of the whole matter. Here's how it happened. 2 Corinthians 4:4. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. He's the one that has done this. The gods of this age, evil, Marxist, socialism, communism, the spirit of the Antichrist is the God of this world. Did you know that the Antichrist, Jeremiah said, he said that the Antichrist will not have a desire for women. He will be a homosexual or trans or whatever. But the fact is that spirit is on the earth today. That entire spirit, all this mess is the spirit of the Antichrist. The God of this age, has blinded their minds so they can't see the gospel, the power of the gospel, which is the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I are under attack. America is under attack. The world is under attack. Israel is under attack. But here's what I also want to say. I know I've said a lot of stuff already, but I want to say we are under attack and all we see is the evil men and evil women. We see them. We know what Gavin Newsom, it's as though they tried to destroy California, our beautiful state. My husband and I used to, every year we went to San Francisco for 3 days. Every day, every year. And we so enjoyed it. We'd stay on the wharf and have all the seafood and our favorite places to eat. And now you certainly don't want to go up there. And I want to encourage you all to please go vote. And let's get rid of that communistic spirit, that Antichrist spirit that is upon him. Somebody ought to be going, yeah, Pastor, uh-huh. We better stand this together, you guys. Don't you sit there and be silent. This isn't the time to be quiet. This isn't the time for the church to back up. But that's what's happening. We got to do some things, church. We can pray, but we got to vote, too. There's a group of people, we don't even know if this president got voted in. There was such... Isn't it funny that the machines that were so worked on and so manipulated by the minds of men, technologists, if that's a word for them. Isn't it amazing that they were the dominion machines? Dominion means power over. And God said, I have given you dominion, Adam. I gave you dominion over the earth and over the animals and over everything. And he gave it up, but Jesus died to give it back to us. We have dominion. And yet the dominion's machines said, we will put in who we want into office. So we better be praying and we better be voting. Yes, we're under attack. And all we can see is evil men and women. But I say to you that to this today, hell and Satan is behind every attack. They're behind this whole socialistic agenda. They are behind this entire spirit of the Antichrist. See, that comes out of hell. And so the whole thing is a setup for the New World Order. And you know that's upon us. I mean, we just know in the end time that's going to happen. And this is a spiritual war. But can I give you the good news? Paul calls this gospel the good news. Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived now, because God is not, he's not what? The terrorists mocked us with our own planes. The government mocks us by leaving Americans over there. But God won't be mocked. Now see, God is long-suffering. And he puts up with a lot of stuff until he's through with putting up with it, Letitia, and then he's done. Because I've been long-suffering up to now, but I will not always strive with man. I just won't do it. You say, well, I wish he would hurry up. Well, me too, really. But if you read the Old Testament, you can just write it down, baby. It's going to happen. God will not be mocked. They may change the rules of the land. They may try to tear down our school system. They may try to bring up inflation to where we're spending $6 to $7 a gallon for gas. And your food prices are going up. You know that already. But God will not be mocked. I wish I had some people that believe it. In this Presbyterian church. God knows he's not wanted in public. He knows he's unwanted, you know, in the Capitol buildings. No, you take down the Ten Commandments. We want them out of here. One man stood up in Porterville not too long ago, a few years ago. His name was Patrick Green. And he said, you guys are not going to be able to pray in the name of Jesus in our council meetings. So I prayed one night. It was my turn. Went out on Tuesday night and prayed. And I prayed. And when I finished, I said, in the name of Jesus. So he called me the next morning. He said, Pastor Paulette, you prayed over the meeting last night. I said, who is this? He said, Patrick Green. I said, well, Patrick, you must have been there because you know I prayed over that meeting. Did you pray in the name of Jesus? I said, you were there. What name did I mention? He said, but I ask you guys not to do that. I said, I don't care what you ask us to do. That's what Jesus told us to do before he went away. He said, now from now on, Jesus said, I'm leaving here. But from now on, when you guys ask the Father anything, you ask him in my name. So ever since, we've been doing that. We have the name of Jesus. Well, he kept on and kept on and kept trying to get the cross out of the park. He didn't like that big giant cross we've got down at the park. And he just kept on and on. And he called me. Finally, I said, I'm not talking to you, Patrick. You're wasting your time with me. I'm not going to convert you. You're not going to convert me. But God can convert you. Anytime God wants to, he'll thump you on the head, Patrick. And you're going to wish that you hadn't been pushed to that point. I said, what's it going to take? Anyway, he wound up leaving because he couldn't control Porterville. One night he called this big meeting to get Jesus' name out. And we preachers, man, we started calling everybody. Our churches went down. Some of you were probably there. And the line was almost clear down by Ford. It was way down there. And we got in there and they threw him out. And all of his mess. And he moved to North Carolina. It wasn't long I looked his name up on the internet. And I saw he was starting the same thing there. He thought, well, they ran me out of Little Porterville. I'll see what I can do here in Greenville. But see, church, sometimes you just got to stand up. Because God knows he's not wanted there. But I'll tell you one thing. He also knows where he's wanted. And that's the part I like. Because he knows he's wanted right here at Landmark. He knows every one of you want him. And he said, that's who I'm coming to. I'm going to come where I'm wanted. That's why he comes into your home. That's why he attends your meals. That's when your kid and your husband and everybody's all messed up the house. And all of a sudden, everything just goes. Because he said, I see you when you come to your wit's end. The word of God, Psalms 112. And I see it when you do business in deep waters and you stagger around like a drunken man. This is old King James. You stagger like a drunken man. And he said, the waves go up and they go down. And they take your boat up and then they take it down. And you think you're going to drown. And you're just doing this. And you don't even have a sure foot. It says, but then the people cried out to God. And when they cried out, here he came and brought them into their desired haven. Now, life gets tough, church. It's been difficult. Oh, my goodness, has it been difficult. This has been a difficult 2 years. Man, it's been something. But we can't lose heart. Don't lose heart. I've not lost heart, not one time, and I don't intend to. Because I know what Paul told me in this next verse. Kathy, pull up 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Please read this. I'm almost through. 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 3. See, Paul's gospel is our gospel. And did you know, Gail, that the Bible says that each one of us have our own gospel? You have your gospel, Gabby. I have my gospel. Danny, you've got your gospel. Marty, you got your gospel, and nobody can present our gospel like we can. You're the only one that can do that like you do. And so here I want to say Paul's gospel is our gospel. I'll take it. 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 3. Therefore, look, Paul says, since through God's mercy we have this ministry or this gospel. Somebody say this gospel. Say this ministry. Therefore, since we have this, we do not lose heart. We don't lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. And then he says, on the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we command ourselves to everyone's conscience. in the sight of God. Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Now, we started out by telling you that the gods of this age have blinded the minds of the unbelievers. And those who are perishing are unbelievers. Unbelievers are perishing unless they come to Jesus. Now, Paul had a lot of reasons to lose heart because he was almost forever in Roman jail. Always in trouble. I mean, Jesus was beaten with 39 stripes once, as far as we know. Paul was beaten 3 times with 39 stripes. He was shipwrecked. He was torn apart. I mean, he was locked in jails and prisons and dungeons. So if anyone could have lost heart, it was him. So when Paul tells me that because of his ministry, he said, look, folks, to his buds around him, look, since we have this gospel that is a solid rock, since we have that, do not lose heart. And that's the thing that keeps me on the solid rock and anchored, as I told you the other day, Chris. You and Sandra have gone through a rough time, but you're anchored. And here sits your kids with you, anchored in Jesus. I see you all. I know what many of you are going through and have been through. Oh, God. But I see you so anchored. And it makes me so proud. You don't go home with Brother Ken and see his wife laying in the bed with Lyme's disease. Here he sits every service. Why? Because he hasn't lost heart. Feel like coming today, Brother Lloyd, but you're here. Tammy didn't feel like coming. Why? But you're on the solid rock. You haven't lost heart. Diane Miller said goodbye to her husband, Bill. Great man. After I don't know how many years of marriage, over 50 probably, I'm sure. She's here today. You know why? Because of this gospel. Because of this gospel, because of this ministry, she will not lose heart. It's the same gospel that they read every morning together. So I'm sure many of you are as angry as I am at what has happened to us here in our own church. Let's just leave America alone a minute. Come down to Landmark. My goodness, you guys. To lose our precious Maureen, our head intercessor that prayed before every service. You never had a prayer service that Maureen Noel wasn't here. Said about right next to you there, Danny. Brother Randy Avila. Sit right back there in that chair. First one I met out there. Awesome man of God. Family called a fast all week before he passed. We called a week of prayer and fasting in the church. Sister Helen, who had a smile this big, ushered for a long time, just the most precious woman. She was a little blingy, but she was a lot blingy. And she loved it. And for my birthday, she was always trying to bling me up. I remember one day she's like, Pastor, we want to give you a birthday breakfast. I said, okay, that sounds good. So we go to Black Bear. She has her prayer team there with her. They're going to give me a gift. And then I open it up. I'm thinking, okay, maybe it's a Bible. Maybe it's a devotional. You know, something cool. What was a big old bracelet like this with bling bling rhinestone stuff all over it? I got to tell you, it was pretty. I just could not bring myself to put that on me. You know, there's just some things that you just can't do. There was nothing wrong with it, but it just wasn't me. And so, the Lord knows she wouldn't dress like me if it killed her, you know. anyway, we fasted, prayed, and they all still died with COVID. She was on a ventilator, and Randy was on a ventilator. So, that was rough stuff. But you know what? You and I didn't lose heart because of this gospel. Because of who you are in Jesus, because of who he is in us. Then we go through another round, and this was the big one. And I'm glad we're not on Facebook. I know we've got some guests here, you guys, today. But please talk nice about us when you leave. So we come here, and we've got Timothy Dixon in the house. This precious man, used to be a truck driver. God touched him, and he comes out at the truck and has these political dreams, and they're just awesome, and God touched him with fresh anointing. And I had him here, but I had no idea. I had been in Oregon preaching this camp meeting 2 services a day, and I had no idea when I got home what I was coming home to. And I come home, and he's here with his prayer team and his wife, and so I'm trying to entertain them. They came a little bit early. Then we have the service Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night. And then I don't even know how many people got sick. I don't even know how many people got checked positive. Sandra's parents came. They don't come to church here. Sandra's sweet parents came, over 70 years old. And they came maybe to get a touch from God on a Sunday morning, on Sunday night, or vice versa. Chris's mom and dad came. By Wednesday, By Friday, Lindell calls me at about noon. He says, "Pastor, I have something to tell you. You're not going to like it." He says, "Shirley, check positive." Oh, God. Who else? Well, we didn't know anybody else yet. Well, about an hour, there was another call, and then there was another. And there, by 6 o'clock that night, I had these calls, and by the next morning, we had 3 in the hospital, and Dee Garcia was one of them. Dee Garcia and Dee Collins, a week later. She had been sick all week but didn't tell a soul. And so, here she was, and your parents, they were in there, both Jerry, y'all know Jerry. Who am I leaving out? Juanita was in there, and Brother Arnie. Arnie almost passed. I mean, he was getting very, very late. Juanita was low. Thank God they got out of the hospital. Dee Garcia got out of the hospital. Arnie got out of the hospital. But Dee Collins passed. Chris's daddy passed. Sandra, both parents passed. You guys, I have no answers at all. All I know, Tanya, it was so devastating. Now, I'm telling you, it was devastating, and it was hard, and it's still hard. And people ask you questions, and you're like, "I don't know, honey. I don't have a clue." But all I know is God, and this gospel is rock. And God's business is God's business, and he said the secret things belong to me. Is anybody with me this morning? Come on, let's stay together. I told Chris, I think yesterday, I said, "Chris, one thing I know, Psalms 46. He said, "Be still and know that I'm God." Well, I know I can do that. Okay, I can get there. I can be still and know that he's God. And that has strengthened us. And I love Paul's writings here. When I saw this, I thought, yes, Lord. This is it. Because of this ministry, and I don't mean this ministry, I mean the gospel. We don't lose heart. That's why Stacy's sitting here today without her husband, Randy. It's how this church, look, this is a good number. There's still some people home today quarantined. Just quarantined. But they're home. And that's okay. If you get sick, stay home. Don't come, don't hug. Just for a little while. We'll be okay. We are okay. Amen. So Paul says, look, we haven't lost heart. Rather, listen, and here's what we do at Landmark. I'm not going to apologize for anything I've said this morning. I'm not out to offend, but I am out to do this. Paul said, rather we have renounced secret and shameful ways. Now, I will continue to renounce, and you've got to do it too, not just me up here. You've got to renounce secret and shameful ways because the world's going to do that. We don't use deception around here. We just don't. We don't distort the word of God. I don't water it down. We don't change the meanings of words as our government's changing the meanings of words so people will not recognize that it really is that. Like when they said there's some people stranded in Afghanistan, the press secretary said, no, they're not stranded. They're trying to get out. Just change a word a little bit. See, that's the first mark of communism breaking through. And then Paul says, and then we commend ourselves to everybody's conscience in the sight of God. For if this gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who don't believe, those that are perishing. So we are coming off of two very difficult years and now just a difficult month or two. I can't even tell you. But I thank God for the strength that he has in his house. And I thank God that I haven't lost heart. You haven't lost heart. And you know what? We're not going to lose heart because of him. So Satan mocks the church not only with social distancing, but social distance from the church. Have you noticed? Still a lot of people that's not been back to church, they've social distanced from the church. They're confused, they're fearful, and they're sliding back. Many have slid back. Some are just full of fear. But I want to ask you, church, in closing, who's the boss? Thank you. Satan's not the boss. Biden's not the boss. Trump's not the boss. Liberals are not the boss. Democrats are not the boss. Republicans are not the boss. No, they're not. Not even COVID. It's not the boss. And the Delta variant, it's not the boss. None of it is. Fear's not the boss. Though it tries to just make everybody fear it, it tries to take over and be your boss. Fear's not the boss. Anxiety isn't the boss. Then who is the boss? Let me prove it by the word, Ephesians 1:22. And God placed all things. Here we go. Here's the answer. Who is the boss? Here it is, Ephesians 1:22. And God placed all things under his feet. And appointed him, appointed Jesus to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So, church, I can say with that, don't lose heart. So if Jesus has been appointed to be head over everything in the church, then it tells me he knows why he wanted your mom and daddy to come be with him. He knows why he needed Dee and Randy and Maureen and Helen. And your daddy. He knows it. I'm like, God, this is your church, it's not mine. Unless you build a church, it's not going to be built well. So Lord, you better come in here. Come in the house, because it's your church. And unless he builds the church, it's just going to be built in vain. Fear and anxiety, I'm so mad at it, it's attached itself to this virus. Fear and anxiety, I mean, it's just a part of it. It's no longer, see, the virus was bad enough. But when anxiety and fear grabs a hold of it and sticks to it, that makes it 100 times worse, and you can hardly talk to the people. I got to leave you with this song. Did I tell you I was closing? I am. But you got to see this. Psalms 112, 7 and 8. This is what pulled me through when my husband and daughter were killed that morning by that drunk driver. I didn't know how fixed my heart was until that happened. Here I am at this age. And again, I'm finding out how fixed my heart is. And I'm finding out how fixed your heart is. As men and women of God, I am seeing people of strength in this house. We are not big in number, especially now. But it doesn't matter. I'm talking to some people who are strong in the Lord. Look at Psalms 112, 7 and 8. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed. Somebody say, my heart is fixed. Why? Trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. That morning they told me that Rick and Jamie had been in a very serious car accident. I knew I was in the valley of the shadow of death. But I also found out my heart was fixed, trusting in the Lord, not what was coming next. So all I know, folks, is Jesus gave us salvation at the cross. He gave us forgiveness. He gave us divine healing. He gave us deliverance. Everything we would need, he did it there at the cross. And then in his resurrection power, when he came up out of that grave, he gave us the power to get up. There is no reason for you to be laying down or discouraged or down and out, because he gave you the power to get up in Jesus' name. And then the upper room, he gave us the power to do all that by the power of the Holy Spirit. He gave us all that, church, giving us miracle working power. And I'm going to tell you right now, I can see a flood of conviction beginning to come to the people of God. He said, if my people, not if the world, but if my people will turn and repent. Now, there is conviction that's falling all over God's people. And I'm going to prophesy something else to you. That the impossible, because of all the hell that we've just come through, because of all the misunderstandings, Satan trying to tear down, trying to destroy this COVID that was so contagious, you're going to begin to see the impossible made possible. Does anyone believe it? We will see the impossible made possible. And we will mock that which has mocked us. We have been mocked, 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 but God said, no more. I'm going to mock that until your enemies are turned upside down. Come on and stand on your feet with me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We are not of this world. Jesus said, for you have died and your life is hid with Christ in God. Let me demonstrate that. Ainsley and Parker, could you come here and help Nana? Will you volunteer because I ask you? Come on, Parker. It says, you have died. When we were born again, we died in the spirit, that we're born again. So the Bible says that our lives are hidden now with Christ in God. So will you let this podium be God? Okay, this is God. And it says, my life is hidden with Christ. You're going to be Christ, Ainsley. So can you both get in there? Yeah, I think you can. Wait a minute. Not yet. So turn around, face it. She used to could stand up in there. Okay. So now, this is God, and this is Jesus. He's already in God. But wait until you see this. This is you. And this is me. And it says that our lives are hidden. He says, how am I going to hide in here? Well, your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, I know you can see through it. But that's us, church. Our lives are hidden. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Hallelujah. Woo! Our lives are hidden with Christ in God. Okay, come on. I'm going to tell you, we go to the rock. Woo! Hallelujah. All right, I want to read you one more scripture. I want to tell you who you are in 2 Corinthians again, chapter 4, verse 6. Look above. For God has said, let light shine where? Out. Read it again. Where? Of darkness. So the darkness that's come over this earth like a fog, he said, let light come out of that darkness. God said that. And make his light shine in our hearts to give light, to give us the light, the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. That's where we get this light, out of the rock, Christ Jesus. Come on, we are lighthouses in this land, church. Hallelujah. Come on, let me bless you. Will the Lord bless you and keep you? May he cause his face to shine upon you. May he turn his face towards you and be gracious to you. Turn his countenance towards you and give you peace. I bless you in your home, in your finances, in your love life, in your home, in your marriage, and all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.